Hello, the series you're about to hear on the GBM Media podcast is from the Serving Today archive. It's on the I Am statements in John's Gospel, and we hope that you enjoy it.
Welcome to Serving Today, the programme for pastors and church leaders. This is Andrew Cook, and I'm glad to be in your company again. The I Ams in John's Gospel, the series continues. At the moment, here on Serving Today, we're dealing with the I Am statements of Jesus in John's Gospel. We're thinking about how to prepare sermons on them, and we're doing that with the help of Guy Davis. We've now come to the saying in John chapter 10, verse 11, when Jesus declares, "I am the Good Shepherd." But we'll also be referring to what follows in verses 11 to 18. As with any passage of Scripture, we need to know a bit about its background and setting, and for that I'll now hand over to Guy Davis.
This is one of the great I Am sayings in John's Gospel. In these statements, Jesus discloses his divine majesty. He also reveals fresh aspects of his saving work. In saying, "I am the Good Shepherd," Jesus was identifying himself with Israel's Shepherd God. As it is said in Psalm 23, verse 1, "The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want." Christ was the fulfillment of Israel's hope that God would raise up a new David to shepherd his people. Ezekiel 34, verse 23, "And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd."
So Guy, you're going to give us a sermon outline for I Am the Good Shepherd. What headings would you have?
First, the Good Shepherd protects his sheep. Second, the Good Shepherd knows his sheep. Thirdly, the Good Shepherd gathers his sheep. And fourthly, the Good Shepherd lays down his life for his sheep.
So the first heading is the Good Shepherd protects his sheep. How would you introduce this point?
When we think of dangerous jobs, the work of a shepherd does not immediately spring to mind. A soldier, policeman, or deep-sea diver maybe, but a shepherd? No. But shepherding was a dangerous occupation in ancient Israel. Bears, lions, and wolves were forever on the prowl looking to devour sheep. Only one thing stood between the flock and wild predatory beasts, the shepherd. David, the shepherd boy, recalled the times when he fought with lion and bear to save his lambs. Look at 1 Samuel 17, 34-35. Hired shepherds were not expected to risk their lives for the flock. They would flee at the first hint of danger, but the shepherd who owned the sheep would defend his flock at all costs. Andrew, could you read John 10, 11-13 for us, please?
"I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep." Guy, what does this tell us about Jesus as the Good Shepherd?
The Good Shepherd was willing to lay down his life to protect his sheep from the devil. He is that roaring lion who would devour the flock of God, 1 Peter 5:8. Normally, the death of a shepherd at the hands of a wild beast would mean disaster for the flock, who would then guard the helpless sheep. But it is precisely by giving his life for the sheep that Jesus guarantees our safety. By his death, he atoned for sin and broke the power of death and the devil.
And how can we apply this point to our people?
We may sometimes feel vulnerable and under attack as Christ's flock, but our Good Shepherd says of his sheep, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Chapter 10, verse 28. The Apostle Paul wrote, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Romans 8, 37 to 38.
Thanks, Guy. So what's the second heading here?
The Good Shepherd knows his sheep. Andrew, could you please read John 10, 14 and 15 for us?
I am the Good Shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep.
Jesus knows his sheep because they were given to him by the Father in eternity. It is for these sheep that he came into the world as man. Knowing us, he laid down his life for us.
That's really amazing, isn't it?
It certainly is. Jesus knew that we all, like sheep, have gone astray, yet he died in our place. On the cross, he was consciously dying for the ones he knew and loved. For us, the cross is not simply an event in history or a theory of the atonement. At Calvary, the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me.
What else can we say about this heading, the Good Shepherd knows his sheep?
Well, if Jesus knows us, Christ's sheep also know him. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Chapter 10, verse 28. Through the word of God, the Good Shepherd continues to call his sheep by name. His gentle yet mighty voice summons us from sin and death. Believers find themselves strangely compelled to follow their Good Shepherd wherever he leads. We know that our Good Shepherd has nothing but good in store for us. "I have come that they might have life and have it to the full," said Jesus in chapter 10 and verse 10.
And what's the application here?
Ask your hearers whether they have heard the voice of the Good Shepherd calling them to follow him.
Thirdly, it's the Good Shepherd gathers his sheep.
Andrew, could you please read John 10, verse 16 for us?
"I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd." Guy, could you just briefly explain the word Gentile?
Yes, essentially a Gentile is a non-Jew. In Christ, Jewish and Gentile sinners are united in one flock under one shepherd. Christ will gather his people from every tribe, tongue and nation. His death not only affects our reconciliation to God, he unites us together as the people of God. Paul was a converted Pharisee. He would have been brought up to regard Gentiles as unclean dogs. Yet, as a Christian, he rejoiced that the gospel had broken down the middle wall of partition that separated Jew and Gentile. Now he can write, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." Galatians 3:28. There can be no room for division in the church over race, class or gender. I hope that we can all agree on that. But those aren't the only matters that divide us. Sometimes Christians are prone to fragment over issues that are not essential to the gospel. This is to be regretted. Are we not members of one flock that has been gathered by the one true shepherd? Later in this gospel, Jesus prayed for the unity of his people, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. John 17, verse 21.
So how would we apply this?
Challenge your hearers on whether they are striving to give expression to the oneness of Christ's flock.
Guy, what's the last heading going to be?
The Good Shepherd laid down his life for his sheep. The Lord has made reference to his death throughout this passage, but now his cross and resurrection take centre stage. Andrew, could you please read John 10, 17 and 18 for us?
"The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." Guy, what does this tell us about Jesus' death?
It tells us that Jesus' death is substitutionary. In a football match, a clean, fit substitute takes the place of a muddied, broken man. Jesus, the good and sinless shepherd, died in the place of his straying sheep. He died for us, bearing the penalty of our sin. At the cross, the good shepherd became the Lamb of God, who took away the sin of the world. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Isaiah 53 and verse 6. Jesus' death is also voluntary. Note that his life was not taken, it was given. He gave up his spirit, having finished the work of redemption, John 19, verse 30. In addition, Jesus' death was purposeful. He laid down his life in order that he might take it again. By his sacrificial death, Jesus attained his resurrection from the dead. Jesus' death was subject to the loving approval of his Father. The Father loved his Son from eternity, before he ever became man, but expressed special love for Jesus as the sin-bearer. Jesus' self-giving on the cross was the deepest expression of the heart of God. I am the God of covenant love and faithfulness, took upon himself the weight of his people's sin. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd gives his life for the sheep. The Father loved the Son as he was made sin for us and then rose again from the grave.
Thanks very much, Guy. How would you bring this sermon to an end?
The Lord will gather his blood-bought flock from all nations. Not one sheep will be lost. In glory, our joy will be to follow the Lamb who will shepherd us and lead us to fountains of living waters. Read Revelation 7, verses 15 to 17. What a good shepherd we have in Jesus.
Well, our thanks to Guy Davis for that encouraging sermon outline on Jesus the Good Shepherd. Earlier, Guy mentioned a few Old Testament references to the Good Shepherd. Well, here are a few more to help us. In Isaiah 40, verse 11, it says of God, "He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those who have young." And then there are the shepherds mentioned in Zechariah chapter 11, who didn't care for the sheep under them. That's why Jesus is the ultimate shepherd, because he is good through and through. He is faithful, caring and loving, as we've just seen. Well, that's all we have time for here on Serving Today. We hope to have your company again soon. If you'd like to write to us, our address follows at the end of the programme. So, this is Andrew Cook saying goodbye. May God use us to serve the precious flock of Christ.
Thanks for listening to Serving Today, a podcast from the Grace Baptist Mission Radio team. To get in touch with us, you can send us a message via WhatsApp. We have a new number, which is +44 74 44 05 8370. That's +44 74 44 05 8370. Or the email address is servingtoday@gbm.org.uk. Until next time, goodbye.